driving on stormy nights can become so difficult that you may wish you had the eyes of a night creature, like an owl or a tarsier. What's a tarsier? Well, it's like a... Look, it doesn't matter. Bosch Night Performance Wiper Blades reduce blur and glare, clearing away rain, so you can drive even better than a tarsier, whatever that is. Night vision has evolved. Bosch Night Performance Wiper Blades.
Off the ball. Rugby.
Jesus, Michael Checa. It's funny, he's a real polarizing guy. Like, you know, you read Rob Kearney's book and you go, Jesus, and then you talk to other people and say, you know, the guy made my career, you know.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB. Proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Hashtag the toughest.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod. It's Sunday night. I've got James O'Donoghue and Paddy Andrews with me. Paddy Andrews, in Dublin, you had a bit of a blackout this evening as the rest of the country has struggled for a couple of days. It seems like Castleknock got hit by an electricity cut for about 3 hours today, and you're frozen, Gosson.
It was unacceptable.
It's back
I always imagined that Dublin was immune to all this, these storm warnings and everything. And it came down more than 3 hours, T. Probably 4 hours with no power. Not acceptable.
You look shook. You look like you've been through the ringer.
How does this happen in Dublin? Like, this is incredible. What do you do? Like, who do I lodge a complaint to? ESP or something?
There's no open fires in Dublin,
no,
is there?
Jesus, no, not in Dublin. No. So we haven't needed them, like.
Oh, God. I
thought we'd have our own generator up here. Like, this is a shambles.
I stayed in Roscommon with the cousins last night, and no heat, no water, but they're making do. They've got open fires. They're going out to the well with buckets. They're getting
worse off up here.
They're going to have to get the electricity back on soon because they're struggling down there. It's tough around the country, James.
I was drinking my filtered water and with my hot water bottle all day.
Killarney was hit worse than anywhere.
Dublin always shines at Killarney. We know that.
It does. No, we had a rain warning. All right, it was bad, but we'd be hardier than ye. So ye wouldn't be tough.
That is fair.
We'd be kind of mountain men.
Well, I must say, within 20 minutes of our power going off, it was like catastrophe. Like, this can't go on. I was trying to ring the Taoiseach. I was like, get me Leo Varadkar's number. Who's the Taoiseach? Leo Martin. Finally, I was trying to tweet Leo Martin.
Yeah, politics are local, though. You couldn't go around the corner to Leo there in Dublin 13, can't you?
Varadkar's after getting a lovely gig in...
Harvard. Yeah, jeez.
I'd say he's getting a nice few pounds for that.
Few bob for that, I'd say, yeah. Strategy.
Anything that says consulting on the money.
It's like...
I consult on, like, nights out and all. Imagine. Yeah.
You can draw a lot of similarities from the political circuit to club management in the GA. Once you hop on the gravy train... Once you get on the circuit, it's very hard to get off, you know? Yeah. Very hard to get off.
It's a fair segue, yeah.
Although, maybe on these new rules, we might be seeing some managers fall by the wayside, some players actually disappear. I was speaking to somebody today and they were talking about when they got rid of the back pass in soccer, when they changed that a lot of the old school players kind of fell out of...
The goalkeepers couldn't pick the ball up anymore.
Yeah, but even some of the centre-backs, the hatchet centre-backs started started struggling. Some of the old-school managers couldn't really handle it, and it just led to a total change in football in the 90s. Mm.
There's a little bit of resistance by people in the game at the moment.
Definitely.
Oh. You know, less so viewers and spectators and supporters.
Example, Jimmy, come on, give it to me.
McGeaney, off the top of my head, he had a salty enough interview... After the Galway game, I thought that I could just tell he just didn't warm to the rules.
They didn't have a point with the, and I didn't notice, the 20 metre free for like the scent, or if you break the 3-on-3, and what, the Shane Walsh would say, I actually don't want to take from 20 metres, I'm going to bring it all the way back out here, past the 40. Are you allowed to do that? Because that was McGeaney's thing. So he was told you weren't allowed to do that. And then
on that rule, right?
You were always allowed to do that.
On that rule.
You can take the free from further back if you want. Yeah.
Just to clarify, if a free, which was given in a 2-point range, is moved forward into a 1-point range, like the 50-metre descent or the 3-3 structure, you're able okay. to bring the ball back out. That's the only time, as far as I'm aware, you can pull it back.
Oh, so if you are fouled in a 1-point range, you can't bring it out?
No. So if you're fouled in the D, you can't bring it back out. So it's only, there's that quirk in it that you can do that.
So that was right last night then. So Shane Walsh was within reach.
Was within his right to do that.
Like. But McGeaney was saying he was told otherwise. Or maybe he's just misinterpreted that.
I'm not sure what McGeaney was told, but like, look at lads. But
Jimmy, you're nailing your colours to the mast. You're going to go after McGeaney this year, basically.
No, I might say that he was the one I noticed straight away. He was like, he's not warming to his rules just yet. Whereas I'm the putting only on, one. I'm putting on my
I thought they were pretty good. I thought our man were pretty good for 25 minutes in that match. Better team, first
Did
half.
Did they not play the old rules, our man Galway?
I thought first half, I thought our man were moving reasonably well. Ran out of puff most certainly second half, and Galway started to use the rules.
They ran out of puff after about 15 minutes. I when did that plane land from the holiday? Because they looked very rusty, which is always it's always going to happen from a team that's away. Like I just think it's hard to get straight back into it. And then I think even for the red card for was it Grimley that got sent off?
Yeah, he was sent off.
It's Morris said it on commentary. He was like, "It's such a thing to happen to an All Ireland winning team." Like, do you know? They're just not ready for the season. They're not quite
free. I heard
they've just thrown a dig into the ribs. Like it's just textbook.
I heard Fitzmaurice say that and I was like, he's stirring shit there. Like, because remember we had, wasn't it Tyrone? Tyrone had the absolute horror show after 2022 when they were on Ireland champions. And this was creeping in. Ill discipline, red cards, kind of loads of off the ball stuff. Just, it does happen.
It does. It's frustration because
it was just for Fitzmaurice to throw it out on the first night. I was like, yes. You didn't need to roll that one out just yet on the 25th of January, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Before we get into the specifics, overall sense, like Paddy, one thing that I have to say is that score lines are way up. And like
Division 2 is like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah. Maybe Division 1 is a little bit kind of similar. It hasn't really jumped yet. I don't think we've seen it as much, but it's definitely Division 2 and 3. There's a couple of comparisons here that I can bring you through. But Monaghan-Cavan, highest scoring Monaghan-Cavan game of all time. It was
1 million points were scored at Breffni Park last night.
Sensational stuff. A couple of other results caught your eye in Division 2.
Yeah, but just bear in mind, this is like the third week of January.
Yeah.
Right? And the conditions were in the middle. We've had two storms in one weekend. We tuned in to RTE last night for the first game. Probably the most eyes were on this game over the weekend just because it was on RTE at that time. And Salt Hill did not look great as a pitch. And these are tough games for players. So you ain't at your peak, Jimmy. You'll know this. But to see Cork 2-19... May 21. You look at today's game again out west in the Hyde. Really not great conditions. Was it 3-21 to 1-20? Ross Cullen beat down. Like these are, you don't see these scores in May, in June, July. So for teams to be racking up these scores in these conditions and players obviously nowhere near peak fitness is testament to what these rules are trying to do. These rules, if you transition the ball fast, and if you're a fast player and you're direct, these rules are in your favour. And that's the reason, that's the rationale that they were brought in for, to favour teams who want to attack. And if you do that, you've got a massive opportunity. We've seen it with the Dubs and Mayo, even in Croke Park last night in Division 1. Both those teams naturally kind of played a very open style of play, but you look at someone like Bugler, you look at someone like Oisin Kennedy, even he was the kind of shining light for Armagh. Two unbelievably fast, unbelievably direct players. There's space now. There's space where in previous games, under the old rules, space was at such a premium. Whereas if you get the ball up the pitch quickly, you have opportunities. And like I say, to really have the first go at it this weekend, you've seen already. And this will only get better as teams, as players, as coaches, referees, media, we all get used to this. I think as a starting point over the first weekend of these games, I think it's been really, really positive.
Yeah, I'm fully on board with that. And I do think it's going to be an evolving thing as well. I think we're still seeing players, James, being a little bit timid and a little bit nice. Like, there was a real there was a challenge game sort of a feel to the Roscommon down game. And I felt the same about Dublin Mayo, where there was very few fouls and every single one of Dublin's scores came from play. They didn't actually even kick a two-pointer, Dublin. So they were kind of playing a lot of their game within the new rules. Now, I might come back to how Dublin annihilated Mayo on the press. Like, that's going to be a big feature this year. But, like, what did you feel? I kind of felt like there was an element of teams still getting used to it. So there was they were being good. They were kind of playing within the rules. They weren't really pushing them.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, there's probably two aspects to that. First of all, when you're playing with the new rules, you're thinking, you're more in your head than you would be normally. Do you know, you're not playing off instinct, you're not playing off the cuff, you're kind of thinking, can I do this, should I do that, where should I be, or what should I do?
Okay.
So it doesn't come as naturally. Even I've even noticed that from training some of the new rules, you know, and then you might turn to give out to the referee and you're kind of, you have to nearly put your hand over your mouth.
So like, not you, Jimmy. Not me,
exactly.
It's not you, of course.
But I do think there's an element to that. Also, I wholeheartedly agree with the whole it's January thing, because players are not fit. Pitches are so soft. The wind is blowing in your face. Like, every decision you're supposed to make, you doubt it because your execution might be off. You're not fit. Everything feels harder. Your lungs are heavy. Your legs are heavy. So as much as the reading of the games we got from the interprovincials, I think the first couple of rounds of the league are going to be a bit similar. You're not going to get a fair reflection on them. Like, just from watching the Derry-Tyrone match, like, the shooting was so off for the quality of player that was on the field. Like, there was just so much going wide. And then in the end, they started doubting themselves. They didn't take on the shots. So that game could have been astronomical scoring as well. But some of the rules then, I'm for all the rules, really. But do you know how long in the Galway Armagh game, the second half?
Go on. Right,
with the hooter.
Mm.
All right. How much was actually played? I timed it myself.
No idea.
So the hooter went, and obviously the game is over. So on RTE, they did the clock to finish on the hooter. GA Go didn't. They ran it up to 70, about 15 minutes before the game was over. But
Hey.
They played 45 minutes and 5 seconds in the second half.
Yeah. What?
So like, the games are going to be a lot longer. Like,
wow. I did not realize that.
Yeah,
so, good knowledge, good research.
So the referee is stopping the watch, so that
you
left your clock running. Wow, that is interesting. Yeah. I'll tell you what, the hooter in Crow Park caught me both times, and I wasn't the only one that it caught in Crow Park. The noise of it, you'd hear it out in
resonance be given out. They probably
will. But Ryan O'Donoghue had a shot at the end. The Mayo were 2 points down. He had a 2-point effort from going into the hill, and he was kind of falling over, and it was kind of a last throw of the dice. Goes wide, kick out comes. You're getting to the 35 minutes, and you're just waiting for the board to come up. I actually looked down to say, how much injury did I have? And next thing, bzzz, game over. So it was kind of funny how that wasn't playing in some places, it wasn't playing in others.
It's good, but do we like that?
I think it means that if you're down a point or two, right, with the clock coming on, you need to go at pace. At the moment, or in the old rules, teams knew the ref isn't going to blow it here for, he'll leave us up there for 30 seconds until we get the right shot. Now they have to actually go and earn their score.
Yeah. Do you know what you noticed in a couple of the games as well? We've seen it, you know, we like big leads in hurling. Do you know the way in hurling, if a team is 8 or 9 points up and go, that's not that big a lead. That could be gone like that.
It's all today.
You're starting to see that in football already. That a lead can be gone, or you could pull away from a team. We've seen it with Tyrone pulling away from Derry. We've seen it with Galway, a couple of 2-pointers, they win a kick out. We've seen it with Mayo. Dublin were cruising in that first half. Fergal Bowling gets a 2-pointer. Then they get the overlap with the goalkeeper, they get a goal. Like, scores, we're talking about there's big score lines, but momentum in games, you could be 5 or 6 points up, and in a minute, that's gone.
Yeah.
Which again is, I don't think it's reckless. You know, you have maybe the purists and like you're saying to me, maybe there's some coaches or some players or some maybe old school fans going, well, are we losing the edge in Gaelic football? Is it becoming softer? Are we losing kind of like defence is a skill? An organisation is a skill of a team. Are we losing any of that? I still think that's all unbelievably relevant. But this adds excitement. And then you look at the remit, any one of those people who are on that committee, Jim Gavin, kind of leading it, it's around entertaining, making this a brilliant game to watch for spectators and things like that. And we've seen it already through last night and the games today. scores and momentum can change so, so fast. And I think that's a brilliant thing to watch over the next. I know there's brilliant games coming next weekend as well. I think that's a major plus as well.
It's kind of freakish that you made that point, right? Because the two games that I was at this weekend were Dublin Mayo and Clare Kilkenny in the Hurling.
Kilkenny in the Hurling, yeah.
Can I just tell you this? It might be a total coincidence. Oh. 15 minutes into the Dublin Mayo game, Dublin led 1-6 to 2 points. 15 minutes into the Clare Kilkenny game, Clare led 9 points to 2, a 7 point gap in each game. What happened?
Watching the
two. I was watching. What happened? Mayo led by 2 at half time after coming into the game. I just want to talk about that. Paul Towey, who's a shooter, this may suit him now, the new rules. Don't know if it will. He sells a double dummy and scores a lovely point to get the ball rolling. Actually, their debutant, Davin Neary, had scored just before that from playing. Nice score. Next thing, Fergal Boland takes 3 shots in a minute, drops one short, a 2 point effort, puts one wide that he should have scored, and then scores a 2 pointer. Then Conor Reid scores a goal where Reap sells a dummy, the goalkeeper, and sets it up. Towey gets another, then O'Donoghue free, Boland, Bugler gets his 5th of 7 in the day. And then Frank Irwin scores one before Basquiat ends it off. So Mayo then, having trailed by 7, are leading by 2 at the break. And on the flip side in the Hurling, Clare were up by 7 and they were up by 2 still at the break. Yeah, so Kilkenny had totally come back into it. But yeah, I think that momentum shift is a big one. I think the midfield, James, go on.
I was going to say midfield, Tom. I think you're bang on there. And goalies, right? The relation between the goalie and the midfield. Like in both games I saw, which was Galway Armagh and Tyrone Derry, the ball goes long, right? The majority of the time. Now, unless you have a lot of work done, I think Armagh got a couple of short kickouts off and they worked out well. But the majority, I think, in the scheme of things, a lot's going to go long. And if you are winning that battle, you have a huge, huge advantage. Like, because if the ball is breaking, right? Say if you don't catch it clean and the ball is breaking, sometimes it's not even worth winning that break because there's so many people around in the area, you're just turned over. But if you can get someone who wins that clean, you're absolutely gone. And like, I thought Tyrone did it very well. Tyrone dominated in aerially in midfield against Derry, and it definitely was the winning of the game for them. And then to double up on that with the goalie, just so obviously that's half down to the keeper as well. But if you have a keeper who can come up and affect the game and make that overload happen, it's a cheat code. And like Niall Morgan in the game I saw with Tyrone, he set up Tyrone's second goal with an unbelievable pass in over the top of the cornerback in for a goal. Like those creative goalies, and it sounds mad that we're saying it, like a genuinely creative goalie is an absolute cheat code in these new rules.
Isn't it like Jimmy? It gives you the overlap. I was never, you know, I've said on this show so many times, 90% of goalkeepers getting involved, we're getting in the fucking way. So go back and go into your goal. Stop annoying us. Under these rules, it gives you an overlap. So
the only way to mark him then, Paddy, is to take your goalie out of goal.
Yeah.
And push up and then leave the goal open. So he is
This is going to be prevalent. I don't think you can afford to just say we're going to keep our goalkeeper in goal. I think teams have to have a look at this now. Like you look at the first half of that game last night, Galway, and again, you're not making judgments, you know, the third week of January, but Galway in their tack were playing under the old system. Shuffle the ball across, very lateral, no penetration. The reward under these rules, where there's space now for taking your man on and going by someone, is you've got to try and do that. You have to be direct as a forward now. These days of shuffling the fucking thing across for minutes and minutes and minutes, there's no reward in it. But if you've got a forward who can be really direct, you're thinking of these guys like a Bugler last night, like a Damien Comer, like
Connaughty,
the runners, they are going to be so, so dangerous under these rules. And then you add in a goalkeeper who can give you an overlap. That just creates, that's why we're going to see more scores. And I liked, look at Ethan Rafferty, it was great to see him back last night. He could be gold dust in this. Began, Morgan, they're the guys who are so influential under the old rules. But I think we're going to see, I think every team, I wouldn't be surprised, and Dublin have never looked at this. And Kerry, Shane, the odd time would come out.
Dublin
I think
have.
You can see.
Dublin I think have looked at it.
I think you see all the teams, Tommy,
yeah,
will give it, will have a look at this because it's such an advantage under these rules. The goalkeepers, I'll hold my hands up, they can really make a difference under the under these circumstances.
Can I bring you to one play? And I'm not sure if you remember it or if you had the same view I had in the Dublin Mayo game. But there were, it was second half, right? And it actually ended up in a Sean Bugler point. But Dublin have the ball. And it wouldn't, you wouldn't have seen it on the TV, but inside in their full forward line, they had a three-on-three, Paddy. So it was one-on-one inside. Kieran Kilkenny had the ball in his hands. He declined the opportunity to kick it 40, 50 yards, right? It would have been one-on-one, but there was a chance to kick it. He puts the fist up in the air, as we've seen the Dubs do for the last 5 years.
Everyone does that fucking thing now.
Slow it down. We're keeping possession, right? So, which they would have done under the old rules. He does that. So Dublin keep possession for about a minute. Mayo filter back. They get the bodies behind the ball. Next thing, Gavin Sheridan, the goalkeeper who started last night, playing with Bridgets. He had played with Crokes before. I think he transferred to Bridgets recently enough. Gavin Sheridan comes flying up the field at the end of the attack, the goalkeeper, as that plus one. I think he punches in behind, runs into the 21-yard line. Complete dummy run. A ball eventually goes over to Sean Bugler, who puts it over the bar. Now, a couple of points on this, right? I'm not sure Kieran Kilkenny would be putting the fist in the air in the summer with Conor Callaghan inside one-on-one on the full forward line a little later on in the year. I also don't think the score happens as quickly if Gavin Sheridan doesn't make that run. So whether it's Stephen Cluxon, who we're told is coming back, or it's Evan Comerford, do Dublin have to think about actually playing a goalkeeper like a Gavin Sheridan in goals if this rule is staying in play?
I think every team has to look at this because of that exact play. It's, if you do that, you'll get a shot off. You have an overlap. So every team is going to look at this. They have to. It's an exciting thing that's going to happen. Again, fundamentally, what all these enhancements, why they're brought in, it's to create space, it's to create more scores, it's to make the game more entertaining. And whereas there was probably two or three max effective goalkeepers in transitions under the old rules, I think the reward now for teams, everyone has to look at this. And I think they will throughout the course of the National League. Doesn't mean come the summertime in the All-Ireland quarterfinals and semi-finals, we're going to have eight or four teams where a goalkeeper is just doing basically mass runs up and down the middle of the pitch. But I think it is something that is absolutely going to be part of the game through the spring.
Well, I wonder, will they change that goalie rule? Because even on the side of the field for the Galway Armagh game, was that when Kenevan was interviewed with Fitzmaurice and
Tomas.
I felt like
and Kenevan's on that committee now, isn't he? He was nearly saying we'll still change a few of these things. Like he was on about the descent one where it goes 50 meters and he was almost saying it's too harsh. And I was like, You're on the rule committee.
Jim Gavin was waiting on shut up, get off the air.
Yeah, I've been picking holes in rules already, but I know that like the goalie one, it'll be interesting to see if that lasts as well.
But why would you take it out?
Well, because it is such an advantage. Like,
but they want, what's they want? They want more scores. They
yeah,
want
but what's going to happen? Like with the rumours of Murphy going in goals and fucking Cliffy being goal in for Kerry, like, you know what I mean?
Do you know what you have to be? You have to be so fit. Do you know how the goalkeepers used to be dragging their arse along?
Yeah.
You need to be, goalkeeper needs to be the fittest guy in the team now.
Yeah.
He just makes some runs up and down the lengths of the pitch. Like.
Yeah, on that, it's worth noting that Raymond Galligan, Cavan manager, former goalkeeper, started with Gary O'Rourke in goals. Very good goalkeeper, an old school kind of goalkeeper. He left Nevin O'Donnell on the bench, who was a former forward who has played in goals with Leitrim for the last couple of years and now has gone back to Cavan. So he was on the bench. Galligan was complaining about the impact of the goalkeeper. He was up against Rory Beggan, who scored 6 points, 3 2-pointers, 2 2-point frees and 1 2-pointer from play. And Paddy Talley, the Derry manager, who was up against Tyrone and Niall Morgan, was quoted after the game as saying, the 12th man is killing the game. It's as simple as that. So people are split on it, but I don't know. I'm interested.
You're split between if you have the goalie or if you don't have the goalie. That's a direct split.
Like, you can't. It's like if fucking a team goes out and plays Kerry and gets hammered because the Cliff scores 120 and you turn around and go, forwards are killing the game. Like, you can't be giving out because the other team has a savage player at this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree.
If you're Paddy Talley, I'm not, he's the guy who said it. You find a player who can do this.
Yeah.
You can't just give out because the opponent has a brilliant player who can maximise this. You know? I think Morgan
is the best. I have such time for Morgan. I think he is awesome.
Morgan was such a tool, Jimmy, under the old rule as well. He's exceptional at what he does. There's risk in it as well. Like, you turn the ball over, you're fucked, basically. So it's not, we haven't seen that yet. But we seen last year, we spoke to Rory Began in November.
Yeah.
You know, he made mistakes in this role going forward under the old rules. You know, we're thinking Ulster Championship against Cavan and ball being rolled into the empty net. And it was still his way of looking at it. Was like, yeah, I'm not going to change that. The team want me to do this. There might be the odd mistake. We're going to try it. But it brings excitement to the game. So I think the FRC, they listen to all of this stuff, but there's also going to be a case where current players or managers are only looking after themselves. That's their prerogative. You know, the FRC has to look at the wider game for generations, for Gaelic football. They can't be swayed by a team because they've lost three league games in a row. That rule's crap. You know, and I don't think they will. I think they're very experienced around that, but... United just scored an absolute banger. Wow.
Martinez.
United. We're back. Wow. Other than that, I think it's interesting. They will keep an eye on these things. But,
yeah, definitely. Just finally on that, right? So, and the trend to goalkeepers and goals, right? Niall Morgan conceded an absolute wonder goal to Derry. James, do you want to talk us through what the hell is going on with players going for goal from 20 yards? Conor Glass, take a bow.
He has previous, this fella.
Yeah, Glass is different because he has such a strike in him. Like, he's done it from schools level all the way up to club All-Ireland finals.
Club All-Ireland final.
Yeah, like, he has scored some outrageous goals. But it was a good example of the new rule. I think it was a tap and go, actually, that it was, where they turned the ball over, tap and go, off they went. And eventually just Glass took it on from 21. You think he was going to go... He was kind of to the right of the goal. I thought he's going to go, if he shoots for a goal, he's going to go across the goalie into Morgan's right. So Glass is left, but he goes near post and he rattles it straight into the top corner. It was an unbelievable strike. You could hear the gasp in the crowd.
Unbelievable.
So, it was just phenomenal. He's a great player.
Jimmy, talk through Tyrone. I didn't see, obviously, a couple of the scores, but watched the whole game.
I thought there
anything
was,
noticeably different with Malachy O'Rourke and that Tyrone team. Good result.
They looked quite a young side.
They looked together. They looked like they knew what they were doing. They looked bought in. Brian Kennedy midfield was outstanding.
Beast, and
Michael McKernan. Yeah, Michael McKernan's centre back was unbelievable. And then McCurry and
McElhom did well when he came on.
Matty Donnelly played full forward, so McCurry and Donnelly played full forward, got a load of ball but missed a good few chances and kind of turned shots down. So once they sharpen up and the ground kind of plays into their favour and they get Canavan back, I think they'll be a force. They look like they're more together or something. I was very impressed with them. Now Derry did look very rusty as well, but Derry only got together. When did Talley get the job in Derry?
Late.
That wasn't long ago. Like.
Late.
I think Tyrone were ahead.
Could that count against them? Not a lot of time now.
It was a very strong Derry side, so it may. And I think we'll be keeping a close eye on them this weekend.
But they played McGuigan 11. So he's wearing 14, but he did not play inside. I think it was probably for the 2-pointers. He got 2 points from play, but he didn't get any 2-point efforts off. But it was interesting. He likes to be involved in the game, and a bit like Michael Murphy, he wants to be tackling, and he wants to show leadership, and he wants to be involved in the kickoff. Be interested to see what they do with him, because obviously taking him out of the inside line, you're definitely bringing down your score tally, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Paddy, your internet has been gone all day, right? So I don't actually know if you saw this. Did you see the other great GA goal that was scored today?
No, I didn't.
Okay, look at your WhatsApp, because I've just sent it to you, right? So this is, again, the plus one with the goalkeeper. Down goalkeeper John O'Hare is out as part of the attack, and Oran Murdoch gets blocked down for a shot by the Roscommon cornerback. I think it's Colm Neary who blocks him down. Two quick kick passes.
Kieran
Murta from 45 yards out into the back.
Sneaks in. Yeah, I
think we're going to see a lot more of this I think we're going to see a lot more of this. And the goalkeeper who took the risk to go forward and join the attack gets punished. So
but that was the same under the old rules as well.
Yeah,
too. Like, you know
there's a flip side to it too. Okay, so look,
but we like that. And that's rewarding. Like Murata outside of the right, over in the Hyde. The Hyde looks every bit as diabolical as Pearce Stadium did last night, and just pings it into the side net from 45. Yeah. That's skill, reward it. I like that.
Yes, and I just want to make a point. The Roscommon forward line, we know how good they are, right? Full forward line.
Skills.
Kicks 112 between them. Their bench scores 145. Their forwards coming off the bench.
Is this you picking them up because you tipped them as the team?
Yeah,
to watch.
Yeah. Ben O'Carroll. Yeah. I'm just saying. Team to watch.
Yeah. Bare aftertaste with you two.
Okay.
Who did Petty go for team to watch, actually?
Dublin, was it? No.
Donegal.
Yeah.
Number one seeds. That's like golfer to watch for the year. Scotty Scheffler, I think, will have a good season.
He's a serious player.
We haven't even turned up this weekend.
He's a serious player.
I think we're all looking forward to that. Quick run through the results, right? Tyrone 213, Derry 1-9. Tyrone top Division 1 this weekend. Galway are in second. They bet Armagh by 6 points. 3 late 2-pointers in the second half. The difference in that game. And then Dublin 117, Mayo 115. Sean Bogler and Kieran Kilkenny really stood out in this, but Kevin Lahiff, young Dublin footballer, scored 1, 2, or 3. I thought he was very, very good as well. So, and a couple of the younger Mayo players got a run as well. But big win for Dublin, because I think Mayo would have targeted getting a win in the first one or two games because they're missing a lot of players in the early couple of rounds. So they're under pressure this weekend playing Galway Mayo. Division 2, really high scoring this weekend. Monaghan top of the league, 222 to 20 points against Cavan. Roscommon won by 7, 321 to 120 against Down. And just to give you the breakdown of the scores here, we might talk about this again. Roscommon scored 3 goals, 3 2-pointers and 15 points. Down scored 1 goal, 6 2-pointers and 8 points. So by my reckoning, Down scored the most 2-pointers over the weekend. Cork, 219. Meade, 21 points. Meade actually took 40 shots in this game. So if they sharpen up their shooting accuracy, they might get a bit better.
Meade playing a club match.
Yeah. And Westmeath, who were down so many players.
Oh, man.
Were caught late on against Loud, 18 points to 112. Just to note that Luke Loughlin kicked 12 points this weekend. We'll have to keep an eye on the top scorers over
Jimmy,
the
Jimmy, what did I tell you? Jimmy was on looking for an L tip. Will Loud beat Westmeath? My predictions this week were A1.
Actually, they went up a good bit on 9-3 or 9-4 as well. And they were pegged back.
Never doubt the Wolf.
They needed a last minute goal Loud from Sean Reynolds to edge them back.
I knew it was coming. Please.
And they held on. So that was a big win for Loud to get over the line. So Division 3 then. Again, high scoring. Kildare, Paddy. I know you want to talk about this. 224 to 112 against Fermanagh. Are they back?
Plano is working his magic. Yeah. It's going to be a good year for the Lily Whites. Mark my words.
Was it last year we gave Kildare some air?
Absolute time? Dog's abuse.
Well, every night. Yeah. I'll tell you who need to cop on. Kildare.
But Flano is the man for that, and they're going to do well. They're going to have a good year. And you've seen it last night. That's probably, I know it was at home, but for Man, it's one of the toughest games in Division 3. Look, no illusions. Kildare need to win Division 3. That's first and foremost. Then take it from there, see how they go in the provincial championship. But they got a crawl before they walk, and last night was a very good start for them. Like I said, they were talking about Tyrone in the last couple of years, hitting rock bottom and teams like that. Kildare were abysmal in 2024. So you could say on one side the only way was up, but you still have to go in there and do it. And that was a very good start for that Kildare team.
Yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on that. Offaly in front of Jim Gavin. Mickey Hart and Declan Kelly. Yeah, they also did a joint interview after the game, which is worth looking at. I thought that was interesting.
Roy Evans.
This was a big win. Offaly 117, Sligo 13 points.
That is a big win
this year. They're probably short a few of the boys from Clara Strand Hill, but Keith O'Neill shot the lights out for Offaly. Big win. Jim Gavin was actually at the Division 3 game watching it for the F4C, so he's on off the ball breakfast in the morning. Paddy, I know you're on off the ball breakfast on Tuesday morning. Jim is there tomorrow, so you're just missing each other. But that's worth tuning into.
I'll catch up with him again. Yeah. Give them my thoughts.
And then up in Corrigan Park, right? This is an interesting one. Antrim defeated Clare. Apparently the weather today in Belfast was absolutely horrendous.
Was this under the old rules, this match?
1-9 to 1-6, right? Under the old rules, you could say. But also, have you seen the arc that apparently was drawn or done in Corrigan Park?
That was closer in than the old arc.
Yeah. I'm trying to get clarification on this. What happened? Or was it actually as small as it looked? But it looks like it's 25 yards out.
That couldn't have been for that game, was it?
I don't know. We'll have to get, it looks like an under 12s game. We'll have to get
Corrigan Park as tight as it is, lads. It's not the biggest field.
There was also a division. It is very tight. Played a game there once as well with DCU. There is a postponed game as well, Leitrim Leash, which you'd imagine will be played the same weekend as Kerry Donegal. Not confirmed yet. It'll be confirmed, I'd imagine, by the CCCC tomorrow. A lot of disappointment in Kerry, I'd imagine, James, that he didn't have a bit of entertainment on Sunday. Donegal not making the trip. Apparently it was Donegal, the GA, that made the decision, though.
But their ladies team played away and so did the hurlers. Was there a club team that played as well? Everyone was getting off the games except for the senior football men's team.
Muffer in the All-Ireland Junior Final as well. Now, Fergal McGill of the GA was talking about this today, and apparently the Donegal teams that you mentioned there all went overnight on the Friday, stayed the Friday night to play on the Saturday. Could be wrong with that.
You must, because the game was called off on Friday.
No, it wasn't. It was called
off. The Kerry Donegal game was called off by Friday.
It wasn't. It was called off Saturday morning.
No, it was called. There was a rumour Friday night because it went down on Twitter that it was called off. And I was like, beautiful down here. I don't know what you're talking about. Why would it be called off? And then the following morning it was.
Looking forward to that. Now, look.
We'll get
there was a yellow rain warning down here in the end, so it actually probably better off to
it. But I think it was the travel conditions in Donegal on Saturday morning got worse. So look, that's how it is. And that game, we'll have a bit of football then that weekend. Sigerson Cup final, Kerry Donegal, Leitrim Leash, and also Wicklow Waterford. That game was postponed in Division 4. Wexford, biggest win of the weekend, 224-26 against London. Carlo under Shane Curran were pegged back late on by Tipperary, a draw in that game and a draw in the Longford Limerick game. A late two-pointer to level that one up for Longford. So that's the result.
Buzzer beater too.
Yes. Going to take a quick break and we're back after this in the Football Pod with a few more bits on a very interesting opening weekend of football.
The night dark, the rain relentless, and yet you drive safely. Perhaps you have the eyes of a puma piercing the dark. Or a bullfrog seeing through the wetness, blurs, and glares. Or could it be your Bosch Night Performance wiper blades wiping this whole time? So adapted to the dangers of driving on stormy nights, it's almost as if you are too. Night vision has evolved. Bosch Night Performance wiper blades.
They're hanging on here, lads. Hanging on with a fucking fingernails.
You're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. We're approaching full time in the Manchester United Fulham game, Paddy. We broke away to record the pod tonight. What's going on?
Collier.
Benny's 20 seconds of normal time left. Onana's taking the piss here. But they're hanging on, United.
Big Collier just got one off the line.
Big fan of that kid. Think he's going to do well under Amorim. Yeah.
Do you know who I'm happy for at the moment? Is Maguire.
Yes.
God, he got dogs abuse. They're possibly going by to, us. He actually
possibly
put down.
By us.
Yeah, but he actually put out a tweet before going, "You'd never leave me alone for a while, will you?" He was getting such
from all angles.
Dog, from all angles. Yeah. He's actually playing great stuff now.
Did that start with England? Like he was still getting picked for England, and then everyone was
playing well.
English fans were milling about him as well. Like, but back three lads, you nearly get away with playing in the back three yourself.
Couple of interesting bits of news, Paddy, over the weekend. Kieran McGeaney confirmed to Jonathan Higgins of Off the Ball on Saturday night that Rian O'Neill was on an indeterminate break, seemingly for a couple of weeks, months. We don't know how long he's going to be out. And then Desi Farrell was asked about a number of Dublin players and we got a bit of clarity. We've learned that Stephen Cluxton is back with the team. He's getting a bit of a clean out done on the knee, but he's going to hopefully play in 2025. We've learned that Paddy Small is back with the team, that John Small looks like he's back with the team, even though there was strong word that John Small was finishing up. We don't know really about Mick Fitzsimons. It seemed like Desi was suggesting that there'd been text conversations over the last couple of weeks, but he'd obviously was giving him the time to finish up with Kula and get the job done with Kula. So we might hear about Mick Fitzsimons and his plans a little later. But he did let us know that Paul Mannion and Jack McCaffrey have both stepped away. He said they're not the type of lads to release retirement statements. The door is always open, but it's very unlikely that we'll see them with Dublin this year. So
fourth retirement each.
Yeah. Can you shed any light?
Just copy and paste the other three statements they've done from the other times. No, look, we knew there'd be players stepping away. Obviously, two most high profile originally were, you know, the realities over the last 3 or 4 years, it's gone into the off season and people are looking at a cohort of Dublin players. And this year seems to be a large chunk of guys are gone. Obviously, Fenton and McCarthy, losing McCaffrey and Mannion, you know, massive blows to Dublin. That there's no way of dressing that up. Stephen going back for another year is great, just to have him in and around there. Probably won't see him until much later in the National League as we move in towards Championship. Fitzy, I absolutely hope and I believe that he's enjoying what he's done with the club. So we'll have to wait and see there. But yeah, they're big blows for Dublin. We expected that. Very difficult guys to replace, but that process started last night. Other guys get opportunities, and the way, I've no doubt, the way Desi Farrell will frame it and how they need to frame it is that this feels like a brand new Dublin team. And you look at the team that was named last night, even the atmosphere within the county, I said it last week, even look at similar on Mayo side, like that was a Dublin Mayo type match, but with very, very different cast of players. And this feels like a brand new team for Dublin. And that had to happen. And it's going to be up to those guys to be inconsistent performances. They go up to Donegal this weekend. They're a tough game for a lot of those younger players, but that's the only way you learn. And there's a real question mark of where Dublin can get to this year. You know, there's not a lot of expectation within the county that they're going to win the All-Ireland or anything like that. But you just don't know. You don't know how these guys are going to react. Last night was a positive start, but it's in Croke Park. Like I said, there's very tough tests lying ahead for them. And particularly if you look at if Fitzsimons or Small or any of these guys aren't coming back, it's a big ask for any team to lose players of that quality. But last night was a good start. We're just going to see how these young players go, because they say their next two games are away to probably the two favourites for the All-Ireland. They're in Ballybuffet on Saturday and then they're in Tralee a couple of weeks later. So
yeah.
Watch this space.
I think Dublin will be definitely fine long term. It's just a case of if they can get those people into leadership roles quick enough, you know, to carry on. Like, you're losing Fenton, James McCarthy out of the dressing room there. Like, they're people that young lads would turn to in the heat going, what do we do? Where do we go? No, they're turning to them instead. So, but you know, you'd be disappointed with Mayo. Like,
Mayo in a similar position, Jimmy. You look through Mayo's list of players.
I know.
That was a completely new team for Kevin McStay as well. Like,
it wasn't one.
You know, Aidan O'Shea is to come back there, you know.
1-8. But like Dublin, without Cluxton, Conn, Fitzsimon, Small, Mannion, McCaffrey, Fenton, McCarthy, is it? Do you know, go and beat them team without those fellas. Lay down a marker. I don't know, I think it was a chance missed.
I think Mayo will feel like that too. I think it's going to be a difficult
2-0, baby.
This little lad, Ahmad. What a player. We are back.
What a baller.
That's
a good
again.
Result. I tell you, Fulham at Craven Cottage is
not. Yeah, Fulham are not bad. Not bad, Jeff.
Okay. Back to that point on Mayo, James. Did you just feel like they didn't go for it enough? Like, I think we saw with a lot of teams this weekend that, well, like, I don't know. A lot of teams just didn't take the risk. I know they were missing a lot of bodies, but they didn't really play the rules the way they can be played.
No team is sharper at this stage of the season. Conditions are tough. There's nobody top of the ground at this point. You know, I don't think you could ever accuse Mayo, these young players, or Mayo over the last 10 or 15 years of a team that don't take risks. You know, I think there might be a bit of a quality thing. I think on Dublin side, outside of Jimmy, you said about experience for Fenton and McCarthy, there's a lot of quality that has left that dressing room as well. You know, the likes of Mannion, you know, with all 4 or 5 Paul Mannions coming up and they just need to get experience. There's quality there that's stepping away. And for Mayo, when you take out Killian O'Connor, Aidan O'Shea will be back, but probably not, probably won't see him to the very latter stage of the league. You know, it could be a tough campaign for them as well, but that's, these players, this is where you learn, this is where you get the opportunities. And the more so than what Desi Farrell is going to be hoping for, I think Kevin McStay is going to be hoping on Mayo's side, that 3 or 4 of these guys, they've had this challenge. This is not a new thing for Mayo in terms of scoring quality forwards. Can 2 or 3 of these guys come up? The Cross Malina guys obviously had a great result today. A couple of those guys to come back into the panel, but it's a process. Very few teams are coming out in January, particularly younger players, and going, I'm going to score 5 or 6 points and put my name up in lights, you know?
Of all the venues to go, though, on the opening day of the league, Croke Park is the one to be in, because it's a little bit more shelter. It's not going to be as windy as anywhere else. It's the surface is going to be bang on, and you have that extra bit of a buzz of it's Croker, you know. I thought that Mayo would go up there now and want to put down a marker. That's why I was just a little bit disappointed with them.
There's an element as well, though, to what Paddy's saying. Like, Ryan O'Donoghue is their one probably starter. Fergal Boland, you could argue, is a bit experienced. But, like, Conor Reid gets a goal on his debut in the half-forward line. David Neary gets 2 points on his debut. Frank Irwin gets 2 points, a youngish player that's been given a chance. Who else started? Paul Towie starts and gets 2 points as well. So it's not Mayo's first attack either, James, you know?
True. I you think they'd be further down the line of that Dublin team with so much upheaval and so much uncertainty in that camp. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Okay. But you know, there's still so little between them. Like, Mayo could have won the game last night as well. So I just can't just be making sweeping statements about teams. Even without any change in rules, teams are finding their feet. And like I say, it's so fundamental changes. The solo and go, the 3-on-3, the scoring differences. Let's just keep watching these teams, and as teams develop, we learn a little bit more about Mayo. They play Galway next weekend. Galway've got a hell of a lot better start to the league this year than they did over previous years. We learn a lot more about those young Dublin players when they go up to Donegal, and we get our first look at Donegal, who, you know, I've put them as a team to watch. But there's a lot of talk around Donegal and see where they can get to this year under Jim McGuinness. So I thought it was a really good weekend across the board, but I think we learn a little bit more about all these teams come next week, and another look at these rules and another look at these new players.
Yeah, for sure. A couple of thoughts on some of the younger Dublin players or the new Dublin players that we saw. Quietly impressed with Gavin Sheridan. I thought he had a big impact. I'm not so sure on the kickouts, but definitely going forward impressed me. Did nothing wrong in the kickouts, but just probably wasn't stress tested. James Madden kind of lined out between the half back line and midfield at times. Paddy, we're going to have to see a bit more of him. Owen O'Donnell, without scoring, I thought was effective and showed a little bit. Kevin Lahiff stood out. He had 1-1 within the first couple of minutes. Ends the game at 1-3. Killian McGuinness, we saw a little bit of last year. I think he's going to have an impact this year. And Luke Brannock comes off the bench and scores 2 points as well. So some impressive young fellas in Dublin too. You're not all that bad up there.
No, and that's...
Are we underestimating the talent given what went
before? No, I wouldn't say that. I think people are possibly underestimating Dublin as a whole, just saying they've lost all those players. They're going to be complete shambles this year. I think Dublin are going to be a little bit better than people are giving them credit for. Whether that's going to be enough to win the All-Ireland, I think that's a big ask. But it's not like they're going to have the complete shit show either. They're still the core team, like Cant come back, Howard, Kieran Kilkenny, Bugler. But you look at all those players you've outlined there, what they have is athleticism and pace. You know, like Owen O'Donnell is a beast. Madden, obviously, lightning quick, has the athleticism, been down on Aussie Rules. Everyone that comes back from that has just incredible aerobic capacity. Take Killian McDade and these guys. So we set it under these rules in Croke Park. Athleticism and pace are even more of a friend than they have been in previous years. So like I say, the way Dublin will frame it in the camp and the way people, supporters of Dublin, have to look at this is an excitement. It's a new team, it's new opportunities, and those guys, they have raw materials which will stand to them over the next few months. Whether that's enough to get up to the very highest level, big, big question marks over that. But everyone has to start somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. As you mentioned, Dublin are up in Donegal next weekend. I presume that game is going to be on TG Carr because of RT.
Saturday night, yeah.
Armagh, Tyrone at 6 o'clock on Saturday night. And then on the Sunday, we've got Derry hosting Kerry at 12 o'clock. I think 12:30 now that game has been pushed back to
12:30, yeah.
Yeah, and then Mayo Galway.
Well, why a little later. Earlier?
There's a bloody Sunday.
Kerry are obviously going on Saturday night, are they?
There's a bloody Sunday commemoration in Derry, I think, at 2:30 that day. And then Mayo Galway is on at 3:45 p.m. that afternoon. So they're Division 1 games. James, before we finish up our first pod of the week, we have a members pod coming a little later. Any of the rules stand out to you? I think we're all of the same mind in the pod. We want to give this time. We're all relatively positive and we want to see how they play out. But anything stand out to you from the rules? Solo and go?
Yeah, the solo and go did stand out a bit. I think it's definitely going to help in certain situations.
You're not fully sold on this one, though.
I'm not fully sold because the first reason is I always thought it was a great skill, right, for someone to have the ball in their hand, have that responsibility to find someone with a kick pass and someone to actually get away and receive the kick pass, right? That's the first thing.
I tell you what, fucking Gavin White could have done with solo and go in that club semi-final. Jeez, he's lost me looking at this.
He couldn't have because it was gone past the 4 seconds. But also, I think that when you're folding defence, right, and this is obviously just a small observation of it, we were always taught, kick it as soon as you could out of defence to get away from the bodies, away from the clutter. But now I think everyone is thinking, I have the solo and go option and it means I don't have to fucking kick it or take that risk. So they're kind of just taking the solo and go and running and nearly running into trouble. If I was coaching a team, I'd say, first of all, look up to see, is there something on that we can get out of danger? And then if it's not, I think it would still be maybe the second option. That's in defense. In attack, obviously, is different because you're probably going to solo and go into a shooting position. Mm. But I just think in defense, Galway played themselves into trouble a good few times. And it was just an interesting one because obviously everyone wants to capitalize on the new rules as much as they can straight away and do everything, 100 times more than they should, but I would just... I still want to see people kicking the ball out of defence because I think it opens the game up.
Interesting. Paddy, anything else stand out to you? Are we going to see the return of bigger presences in the middle of the field because teams have to go long? We saw Dublin bossed Mayo, Kieran Kilkenny in particular, very influential on the kick-out, and also the high press in the kick-out. You take a shot now. If you allow a team to slowly build up and take a shot, you're going to be penned in very quickly. You know, by the opposition as well. So I think the midfield, the breaking ball, the kickouts are going to be so big.
I like the solo and go because it was speeding up the game, you know, and anything like that. What was one of the biggest gripes under the old system was this slow, ponderous, minutes long of possession going absolutely nowhere. So the solo and go, I take your point, Jimmy, but I think it speeds up the game, which is good. I absolutely agree on the long kickouts. Remember they brought in the mark for high fielding, that didn't really have the desired impact. You look at this again, the reward of winning a long kickout, or not just a long kickout, but a fast transition. If you can get the ball up the pitch quickly, you are in business. The reward is just, it's a goal chance. So whether it's from a kickout or long kick passes, it's great. We want to see more of that. I think we will continue to see more of that. Again, conditions probably didn't favour those gale force winds all over the country. But I think I'm looking at this through, what is this going to look like in the summer when we're in Croke Park or we're in Clonus or we're in Fitzgerald Stadium or wherever in May, June, July? I think all of these rules will really, really blossom at that point. But I think the long kick out and the fast transition, teams have to do it. Even if it's against your nature and against what you've coached for the last 5-10 years or what the way you've played, the reward for moving it quick is there. So that's a positive in my book, 100%.
Okay. Lovely, lads. We're going to catch up a little later in the week. Just to note that Amad Diallo goal was disallowed for an offside.
But seen that. Yeah. It's all right, though. It's all right. It's all right, but Jimmy.
If anyone wants
to. You must be really watching the game. We're supposed to be doing a pod here.
I'm not watching it. I just have live score notifications.
Multitasking, buddy.
So that's just in case anybody doesn't have enough electricity or broadband to stream the game, but does to listen to the podcast. So just in case you're listening late and you haven't heard it or listening early. Paddy, you mentioned Cross Molina's win. Just a late note on that. Ballanderry beaten by a late penalty dispatched by Conor Loftus. Not sure what words there are for to explain that situation in itself, but Conor obviously then went down the tunnel, I think, when the celebrations were taking place. I'm not sure it was a penalty. I'm not sure that matters at this stage. But Cross Molina's season ends as Intermediate All-Ireland champion. So that just puts an end to probably a very difficult couple of weeks for everyone involved out west in and around that story. So that is that. So just the last word on that. And then we have got a members pod a little later this week. We have got floods of comments on Instagram looking for your thoughts on various intricacies around the rules. There's a little bit of a rumour that Legion are already out in the field. Forget about the gym. Forget about the running. They're actually kicking a bit of ball. So, James, you might talk to us about that, will you? You getting your heads around the rules?
Well, we're only on the field once just to get the cobwebs out.
Sharpen the axe, Jimmy.
As soon as the yellow rain warning came in, we said, now's the time.
On the field.
Let's Mountain get men. Out there.
Mountain men.
Let's go through a bit of pain. No pain.
Not to be said for Mountain Men.
No, okay, you know what? Playing with it, though, is important to understanding everything as well. I think
you need it.
You do get a bit of a better grasp on it.
I think I'm looking forward to getting out in the field. And I think you can give us...
You're going to have to go back to Bridges. Oh, I'm sorry.
Ain't going to happen.
We need to make a two-pointer competition happen.
That ain't going to happen.
Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, first weekend of the National Football League down. Great to get a pod in the books early in the week. We'll catch up a little later in the week. To everybody listening at home, thank you very much. The pod, of course, is brought to you by AIB, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Club Championships. Check out hashtag the toughest for more on that. Paddy, James, have a nice Sunday evening.
Good night, friends. Pray for the power. Pray for the electricity.
Chat soon. Everyone else around the place, take care. Good
night. Fair play, boys.
The night dark, the rain relentless, and yet you drive safely. Perhaps you have the eyes of a puma piercing the dark. Wow. Or a bullfrog seeing through the wetness, blurs and glares. Or could it be your Bosch Night Performance wiper blades wiping this whole time? So adapted to the dangers of driving on stormy nights, it's almost as if you are too. Night vision has evolved. Bosch Night Performance wiper blades.